Good morning. It is good to be here today to see everyone. Well, the lesson I had planned to bring this morning is not the one you're going to get. Turn to Matthew, the 16th chapter and the 24th verse. Matthew 16 and 24. I'm going to be going over a lot of scripture today. So if you've got a pencil or a pen or something to write it down with, that might be easier. Matthew 16 and 24, Jesus is talking. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." When I was a young child, and someone asked me, what kind of faith did I have? Who did I believe? I would have very simply said, hey, I'm a Christian. I'm a member of the Northside Church of Christ in Electra, Texas. I would have done it with pride. It's my family. It's where they went. That's where people that I knew and loved went. Even throughout my life, after I was baptized, even more so. But then I left and I went to college. Whoops. Kind of drift away, you know? Maybe some of y'all had that condition, that situation in your lives. You came back, which is good. Well, I got married, started having a family, drifted more off. My secret life betrayed my vows when I was baptized. Yeah. You're looking at a sorry sinner. But you know what's amazing? How the Lord teaches you things in life? Gets your attentions whenever you're not really sure about what you ought to do, has a tendency of getting your attention. He got my attention a number of times. He beat me like a bald-headed stepchild. But you know what? I deserved it. My family did not. Sometimes that pain goes down to them too. Well, man, why would God do that? Why would a perfect and wonderful God create stuff for you to get through, cause you problems and such? Then I read Hebrews 12 and 6. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. He ain't done with you yet. He ain't done with you. He's going to try to get you back any way you can. If you have a wayward child, do you not go after that child and try to bring him back? In some way, you know how far you can push. You know how far you can pull. But you try to bring that child back, do you not? Any way you can. Why? Because you love that child more than you do even yourself. Kids won't know that until they have their own kids. How many times have you been chastened? Well, I've made a science out of it. He's chastened me a number of times, and rightly so. I was worried about how I was going to even survive. But it's amazing whenever I come back to the Lord, that horrible thing standing in front of me did not turn out to be as bad as I thought it was going to be. Or something happened. Something that you can figure is pretty well miraculous. If you think that's all purely by chance, ask Israel and Judea. Ask them about that. How many times did they veer off to one side or the other? How many times did God bring them back after they had lost a battle? Or maybe a little bit of real estate? And ultimately, Israelis went into the Assyrian captivity and Judah went to Babylon. They were captured. They were taken off. But did God forget about them? Oh, no. He got their attention. He got their attention. We are the agents that need to be changed, not God. God is the same now as he ever was, and he's not changing. I don't care how many preachers get up here and say, well, you know, God done that back then, but you know, now we are so much more advanced. No, we're not. We're not. We're the same as we've always been. We're always the same. We're always wandering, trying to change things up, trying to put our mark on society. It's us that needs to change. It's us that needs to follow what our Creator, who made us in His image and likeness, wants us to be. Who has a better understanding of who we are to be, the pot or the potter? I recently finished a book by a dude named Kyle Eidelman. I have to thank my brother Toby for giving it to me to read. The title for the book is Not a Fan. Not a Fan. I would encourage you to read this book. He's a Christian writer. He's a minister. I think he's part of the Christian, I would suspect the first Christian group. You can buy the book for well under $20 in a paperback form, or you can get it on Kindle or in some sort of audio type book if you don't really want to read it, want to listen to it, or for around $20, something like that. It's only 15 chapters. I think it's 15. It might be 16. I was close. But it's not that long. It's a six-hour read. If you listen to it from the first, it'd take you 6 hours to go through it. It's an amazing book. And it certainly opened my eyes. And I've been doing this for a while. It certainly opened my eyes And I'm not one that ordinarily just goes out and drums up support for something. But this is a good, good book. I don't believe mankind has, sometimes they put in their own little pieces. Preachers do their own thing sometimes. But if it's not backed up here, doesn't matter what I say. If it's not backed up by the scriptures, and he has everything backed up. Everything. Let me give you an example about how preachers do things. Remember when the Israelites were given the Sabbath and told it to be a day of rest? Remember that? Then what happened? The church leaders seemed to get together and they said, well, okay, this is how we're going to make sure it's a day of rest. You can only go so far on a Sabbath. You can only do this, or you can do that, or you can't clean up stuff on your floor if you spill something, or you can't do, you know, there's so many different rules that they put out there. Was that part of what Jesus or God wanted them to do? Was that part of it? Well, if he would have put it in there. And if he did put it in there, he put it in there. But they come out on their own with their own rules and their own groups and their own thoughts. In Luke 14 and 5, Jesus answered to them, said, then he answered them saying, which of you having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? Have any of you ever worked on Saturday? I see somebody out there shaking their head, but I know. That's okay. I can assure you before it's all over with, you'll get to work on Saturday. And virtually every other day of the week, too. That's just part of the deal. To put it another way, if there's something that comes up that's so physically urgent, that you just got to, have you not broken the law? Are you not deserving of eternal damnation? Well, he wouldn't do that. Does God change? No. We are the ones that need to be changing. You've broken the law. Back in Jesus' day, not back in Jesus' day, well, actually, to some extent, but they would be put to death if they were caught doing something wrong. Back in the day, Jesus made this statement, they, the Israelites, were just as hypocritical as we are today. They would do things they weren't supposed to do. They got away with it in many cases. In some cases, they don't. The sin of our hearts transferring to the sin actions are the reason we break the rules. So why did God give us rules? If he knew we were going to break them to start with. In Galatians 3:24 through 25, we read, Paul writes to the Galatians, therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. After faith has come, we're no longer under a tutor. Well, why? I don't understand now. We're no longer under the tutor, that is the law? This commitment goes back to God said it back in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31, 31 through 33. God says, behold, the day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant, which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. In other words, we're going to want to drive 65 mile an hour in a 65 mile an hour zone. We may not be quite that excited about doing 65 in a 65 today because we may have someplace we want to be quickly. Well, how's this going to happen? How are we going to get to a point in our lives to where we want to follow God? That what His rules are listed in our hearts, are they the same rules? Well, we're going to discuss this a little later. In the 34th verse of Jeremiah 31, no more shall every man teach his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Think about that. The rest of the chapter is very disturbing if you read it through, and I would suggest on your own time do so. But it's also disturbing to us, too, as I think most all of us are Gentile in nature. It's where we started out. We are grafted in. If you don't believe it, read Romans 11. We're grafted in. In Galatians 3, 21 and 22, we read this. Well, our justification is by faith in Galatians 3 and 24. Faith in who? Faith in Jesus Christ. Let's read 21 and 22. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which should have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the scripture is confined under the law, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. The religious factions of the days that Jesus was here on the earth with us, walking in the flesh, clung to the law. Jesus was a Jew. He stayed within the law. But they clung to the law and they crucified the Son of God, the Son of creation. Oh my, I'm so glad I didn't do that. You didn't? Did he not die for those who was crucifying him? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Whose blood cleanses you from your sins? Now tell me you had nothing to do with it. I have everything to do with it. Yes, my dear brothers and sisters, you killed him just as much as I killed him. But see, the key is he's our only path back. We can't fix yesterday. We can work on tomorrow, today. What we carry in us is greater than the sin that envelops this world. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. That is the key. When you were baptized, you received the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38, I think. But you received the gift of the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit doesn't leave you. You can quench him, but he doesn't leave you, because he's writing down what you did. He's also trying to guide you of what you should do. Question is now, do you try to please God or you try to please men? Oh, it's easy to please men. Well, sometimes. But we got to try to please God. The term "follow me" appears in the Bible. Well, the edition you have in the pews, the New King James Version, about 21 times in the New Testament and 9 times in the Old. John 20:12-26 again, if anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Do you serve God? Do you follow God through Jesus Christ? Or are you just a fan? Yeah, he's a good dude. Brother Marcus talked about Islam. Well, they believe Jesus was a prophet. They like him. Just fine. But they do not believe he's the Son of God. What does the Scripture say? You will know the Antichrist by whether they affirm that Jesus Christ did come in the flesh. If they affirm he did, they're of God. If they did not, then they or part of the Antichrist and the other team. He gave us the Holy Spirit to direct our paths. The question is, who do you worship this morning? Who do you worship in the morning? What's the first thought on your mind? Is the first thought on your mind thank you, Lord, for waking me up? Or is it, where's that first cup of coffee? Do you worship Jesus or do you worship the coffee? What's your idol? Well, after this morning, it was Jesus, all right. But it was only by a whisker. Just asking, do I follow Jesus or do I follow that cup? Here's some passages to look at. Let's go to Matthew 8 chapter, starting with the 19th verse. Matthew 8 chapter 19. When a certain scribe came to and said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Then another of his disciples said to him, "Lord, let me first go bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." Now you think about that. Why would he not want to let somebody go bury his dad? Can't do anything for his dad. Do something to people that are living or for people that are living. Jesus warned the scribe. He warned him, says, "I don't have a place to lay my head. I have no peace whatsoever while I'm doing what I'm doing. Now you're going to follow me into that?" Well, he was part of this, of the group of people that controlled the church or the temple. He was a scribe. He actually wrote down what people said. Never hear any more, as far as I know, about the scribe. You don't hear anything more about the dude that wanted to go bury his dad either. So maybe they just spoke out of turn. Luke 9 and 23, Jesus said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." That's the very first scripture we read. I think it was in a different volume. Same thing, though. Once the rubber meets the road, we sometimes may choose the comfort of the car over the traverses of the road and the journey. Is that what Jesus wants us to do? Galatians 5 and 17. "For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish." Do you grab that cup of coffee before you thank God for the cup and what's in it? You know, he gave you the ability to drink that coffee. He also gave you the coffee and the cup it went in. Everything belongs to him. You just have charge over it. Is the Spirit of God in you? Does he speak to you? And the question is, do you listen? First Thessalonians 5:16-21. "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Hold fast to what is good. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that cup of coffee. Just remember who gave it to you, who let you have control over it. Think about it. Do you ever quench the spirit in order to satisfy your flesh? Do you ever say, you know, I just don't feel like it today. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like doing X, Y, and Z. I would just as soon stay home, watch the game, eat a pizza, whatever. Whatever is your indications in your life that you want to do. We are not a perfect bunch. Close. Now, I'm saying this for myself. I'm sure there's a lot more people out there much closer to perfection than me. But we each have our own little problems that we have to deal with. Philippians 3 and 12, Paul writes, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that of which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." Think of that. Paul was not perfect, but he wrote more of this New Testament than any other writer. This journey we travel ends at this death on this earth. It ends here, but it doesn't end our being. We continue. Until then, we continue to work at being perfected, thereby glorifying the one who died for us. That is the one in us greater than the one that's in the world. The Holy Spirit of God is that Jesus that's in us. Remember where our citizenship is, Philippians 3 and 20. Remember where our citizenship lies. Matthew 9 and 13. "But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Which one of us here are not sinners in some form or other? We all are. We need to continue to repent day after day after day. Israel had sacrifices. Israel had the law. Now, do we need to throw the law in to show our love for Jesus? No, we need to love Jesus. If we love Jesus, will we break any of the law? No, that's not the plan. This quote actually comes from 1 Samuel 15 and 22. So Samuel said, Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of God? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. Israel had the sacrifices. Israel had the law. We have one sacrifice. His name is Jesus Christ. He died on a hill outside of Jerusalem some 2,000 or so years ago in our time. He died that we might live. We can either claim it, but not in word. We have to claim it in deed, in duty. Or reject it by living to ourselves and supporting us, making our own decisions, not letting the Holy Spirit influence those decisions, so we can do what is right. Romans, the 12th chapter, read it. It's good. Paul writes in Romans 6 and 14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." We're under grace. That's where we are. What is grace? It's unmerited favor. Did you earn any of it? No. If the Holy Spirit does not run your life, then I guess you run your life. One question. Who has the road map to get to where you want to go? Think about that. Who's got that road map? If you think you do, I remember my mother and I, we'd try to go to Dallas from time to time to visit my uncle and my sister for a time. I was over there trying to navigate the map. She was trying to drive. She wasn't happy doing the driving, and I wasn't happy doing the navigating of the map, because we found that Beltline Road was a number of places. He's got the map for us. It's right here. But we have to put Jesus Christ first. He's not going to accept second best. Well, yeah, I'll go to church. I'll do this. But is he in your life every day of it? Do you think about it? Do you think about him any during the day? The question that we have to ask ourselves, I don't know. Why do you think I put something together like this? I need it. And I think we probably all need it to some extent. My brothers and sisters, I've gone over, and I'm sorry for that. But I think sometimes we need to hear this, and we need to remember who we are servants to. He won't accept halfway. He'll accept all the way. If we can help you sometime this morning, if we can pray for you, if you haven't started your walk yet, please come forward as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.